So, a warm welcome to batch number 4 of local news and features for Update Talking News Stoke. It's Tim and Uta now, and we have 4 headlines for you, and the stories coming up from me are Stoke-on-Trent is bidding to join Rome and Rio as one of 350 creative cities, and parkgoers urgent plea to police as teen gang threatens to shank her again, and Uta's headlines are...
Yes, hello. I start with an urgent warning. A Stoke-on-Trent teen among 45 is killed by poison. And the second story is Spode unveils new backstamp showcasing Stoke-on-Trent to the world.
So we look forward to those stories shortly. So my first headline for you now and story is Stoke-on-Trent is bidding to join Rome and Rio as one of 350 creative cities. Stoke-on-Trent will aim to join the likes of Rio, Rome and Beijing in an international club of creative cities. Leaders at Stoke-on-Trent City Council believe that members of UNESCO's Creative Cities Network will help to boost tourism and economic growth. UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, created the network in 2004 to promote cooperation between cities where creativity is a strategic factor for sustainability and development. There are currently 350 creative cities around the world, including 13 in the UK, representing 7 different specialist fields. Cabinet members at the City Council have now backed plans to submit an application for Stoke-on-Trent to join this network based on its unique cultural heritage and contribution to ceramics. When the next round opens in late 2026, the Council sees a successful Creative Cities bid as another step towards its long-term goal of securing World Heritage status. World Heritage Site status for Stoke-on-Trent, having already secured World Craft City status last year. According to the Cabinet report, the award of Creative City status would raise the profile of the city nationally, as well as open up the opportunity to promote Stoke-on-Trent globally as a centre of creative excellence. Council leader Jane Ashworth said if successful with the bid, it would place Stoke-on-Trent in an elite league of creative and cultural cities, something that we believe is not out of place given our cultural heritage and contribution to the ceramic industry worldwide. A successful bid would also provide exciting economic opportunities, the potential for job creation and world support, and would support us in preserving and repurposing our city's enviable number of heritage buildings. Stoke-on-Trent will probably aim to join the network in the crafts and folk art category. Current member cities in this field include Perth in Scotland, Trinidad and Cairo. The application will be developed mostly outside the council itself, with Stoke Creates Community Interest Company set to play a key role, alongside Staffordshire University and Keele University. Stoke Creates founding board member Paul Williams said, having been designated as a World Craft City in 2024, Stoke-on-Trent is ideally placed to submit a successful application to become a UNESCO Creative City, achieving the accreditation offers unparalleled opportunities to capitalise on Stoke-on-Trent's post-centenary cultural renown and creative talent to strengthen local economic and social development. The Cabinet report says that preparing the application will probably require a dedicated officer or external specialist, which costs around £50,000, but specialist cultural research a resource is already available this year through the UK Shared Prosperity Fund, which will significantly reduce the amount of officer time required. So over to Uta, who's going to do the next story for us in batch 4.
Thank you, Tim. Well, 45 people were killed by poison. A coroner has issued a warning over suicide websites after a poison bought online killed a Stoke-on-Trent teenager and 7 other British people. Police have traced 45 people in the UK and Europe who have died after taking the unnamed substance, and another 40 who had bought it intending to take their own lives in a 12-month period. Details of a cluster of deaths in Greater Manchester were revealed in 8 prevention of future death reports issued by Senior Coroner Timothy Brennand. They include Matthew O'Reilly, 18, from Berry Hill, who died after ingesting a poisonous substance purchased over the internet. The former St. Thomas More Catholic Academy pupil, described as the perfect son, was found at his student halls in Salford, where he was studying in 2020. Mr. Brennan, senior coroner for Manchester West, did not identify the poison except to say it was a food preservative and a reportable poison as well as a reportable explosives precursor. Writing to the Home Secretary Yvette Cooper to raise concerns, he said the police investigation into one UK-based source of supply revealed in 247 cases separate supplies of 500 grams of less of to customers in the UK, and Europe. Police established that 85 of these individuals who were traceable had either died as the consequence of self-ingestion of the substance or had purchased it with a view to having the means to use this method to end their life. Mr. Brennand said the suppliers were not aware of this potential misuse of the substance. He added the small quantities being purchased had been incorrectly evaluated to be an increase in individuals pursuing recreational home curing food preservations as a hobby, being an artifact of lockdown living following the COVID national pandemic emergency. The coroner also warned about websites designed to aid, abate, assist or promote suicide methods, the MEN reports. He wrote, the police investigation revealed the ability of members of the public to access a number of websites primarily created in the USA, Canada and Mexico that promoted information as to how to access poisons that could bring about death, how, in what way and with other necessary preparations, in particular antiemetic medications, the poisons should be administered, sourcing such poison-chemicals-medications in the UK and abroad. The 8 people who died in Greater Manchester are, well, the death included Matthew O'Reilly, 18, from Berry Hill, and it was described as the perfect son at his inquest in August 2022. He was found dead in his student accommodation in Eddie Coleman Courts in Salford on September the 25th, 2020, after taking the poison, which he had bought online a few weeks earlier. He had just moved out of his Stoke-on-Trent home to start a course at the University of Salford, where he had secured a place studying English literature after achieving excellent GCSE and A-level grades. Matthew was described by former headteacher Mark Rayner as a star pupil. Previously speaking with Stoke-on-Trent Live, Mr. Rayner said, He was much loved by students and staff alike throughout his 7 years at St. Thomas More, and he fully immersed himself into school life. Kelly Walsh, 45, who took her own life after taking the substance, which she bought from an internet-based supplier in Lithuania at her home in Atherton, Wigan, in February 2021. And an inquest in 2023 heard Miss Walsh was a bubbly and determined woman whose smile lit up the room. Samuel Dickinson, 33, from Lee, took his own life after taking the chemicals at his flat on Wilkinson Street in March 2020. The father of 2 obtained the poison as part of a suicide pack he bought online. Matthew Price, 37, took his own life in June 2021 after ingesting the substance at his home on Rawcliffe Avenue, Bolton. An inquest in August 2022 heard he was worried about an ongoing custody battle, domestic issues and a police investigation when he decided to obtain a suicide kit online. Sean Buss from Bolton took his own life by taking the poison after searching for a foolproof method to commit suicide. The 23-year-old learned of the chemical via the online suicide forums. Andrew Brown, 45, died at his home in Wigan on August 9, 2023, after taking the substance. At least three consignments of the poison were found among his possessions. His motives remain unclear, Mr. Brennan wrote. William Armstrong, 24, died in a hotel room in May 2021 after taking the substance while suffering from a psychotic illness. He had bought the poison online from a source in Russia. Chantelle Williams deliberately ingested a significant but non-fatal dose of the poison in 2019. Miss Williams, who had a complex medical history, checked into Salford Royal Hospital, where she received treatment on the Keats ward. While at the hospital, she managed to order and take two more doses of the poison and died as a result of the second incident in May 2020. In his conclusion, Mr. Brennan said her intentions remain unclear. Future deaths could occur, coroner warns. In the Prevention of Future Death reports addressed to the Home Office, Mr. Brennan warned there was a risk that future deaths could occur unless action is taken. And he added, the published guidance does not give specific guidance or suggested training to sellers, particularly acquired by members of the public, particularly over online marketplaces in circumstances of the purchase on an one-off basis for the means of self-harming. While there is a legal duty on persons selling this substance to report suspicious transactions within 24 hours to the Home Office, the purchase of small quantities is being presumed to be connected to the many legitimate uses of the substance, such as food preservation, fertilizer, and much more. Rather than in fact being evaluated as a member of the public seeking purchase of modest quantities used as their chosen means by which to end life. The current Home Office guidance and supporting video, leaflet and posters do not give reverence as a specific example of concern and focuses on the phenomenon of malicious misuse and not deliberate misuse in the sense of suicide or self-harm. The Home Office has 56 days to respond to the report. Over to you, Tim.
Thank you for that. So my next story now is Parco's urgent plea to police as teen gang threatens her again. A woman who was threatened by a five-strong gang of teenagers in Hanley Central Forest Park has told how it happened again just 10 days later. She says the group warned that they would finish what they started during this terrifying confrontation. Staffordshire Police have reassured her that officers are making inquiries after the first incident, but the victim said the boys responsible remain at large and completely undeterred. The 38-year-old told Stoke-on-Trent Live, I was sat down with two mates in Forest Park when the same group of five teenagers approached me yet again. As soon as they saw me, they started making threats. One of them said he really had got a shank this time and he was going to do what he should have done last time. He said that next time he's going to finish it. While they were giving me abuse, they turned their attention towards a fisherman. He must have said something to them and they started running back towards him and picked up a load of rocks. Then they started chucking them at him. Following the first incident, the victim says that she was advised by officers to avoid going to the park alone and to record any further disturbances, but she claims following their guidance has not proved beneficial. She explained, I recorded everything, kept a safe distance, and rang 999, like the coppers told me last time, but it took them about half an hour to respond. The 999 operator asked me if I was going to go home and wait for them there, even though that's not what they told me to do last time. I waited for a bit and called them back. After 7 minutes on the call, I put him on loudspeaker for the recording, and the guy said that I didn't need to do that, but I said I did because I called last week and nobody came for an hour. About 15 minutes later, some officers arrived. They told me that they'd speak to the fisherman and have a look at my video later on. They also said that they'd speak to the kids' school on Tuesday, but it wasn't even open because it was half term. So that's a blatant attempt to fob me off. Since then, I've left 2 notes on the 101 website saying that they need to come around and watch my video. I've explained I'm having trouble uploading it, but they just keep sending me links. They're clearly not interested. I know the police are finding knives in the park, and then there's these groups running around terrorizing people. But they're still telling me that they don't want to pursue anything criminal because of their age. They've just said that they'll speak to the school when it opens. Over to Uta now for the next story and last story for us in batch number 4.
This is about Spode, and Spode unveils new backstamp showcasing Stoke-on-Trent to the world. Iconic Stoke-on-Trent ceramics brand Spode has unveiled a new backstamp that will help showcase the city's name to the world. Spode, owned by Stoke-based pottery giant Portmerion, has launched its Made in Stoke-on-Trent backstamp and refreshed logo in time for the city's centenary celebrations. The new logo and backstamp also now reference Spode's birth date of 1770. It's being launched on limited edition mug in Spode's best-selling Blue Italian range this month before starting to transition onto key products during the second half of the year. Mike Raybould, Chief Executive Officer at Portmerion Group, said Spode was born in Stoke-on-Trent, which has been the centre of the British pottery industry since the 18th century, and we have always championed British manufacturing. Despite being an internationally recognised brand, this pledge marks our latest step in cementing Stoke-on-Trent at the heart of everything we do and honouring our deep-seated heritage, exceptional craftsmanship and iconic designs. He added, "We sell Spode products all around the world. It's an example of our quality and heritage. We are changing the backstamp to recognise that. I want people around the world to see that it's made in Stoke-on-Trent. In part, it's part of our DNA. We want to do our part in trying to promote the city." In March this year, Stoke-on-Trent Central MP Gareth Snell launched his Turnover Team campaign, encouraging customers to be aware of the country a ceramic product is manufactured in order to ensure the industry is championed in the UK for years to come. The new Spode backstamp also highlights the firm's focus on delivering its Made in Stoke-on-Trent strategy. The aim is to significantly increase UK production of its branded tableware products over the next 24 months. It's our responsibility to ensure Stoke-on-Trent's legacy of craft continues to thrive for generations to come, said Mr. Raybould. And over to you.
Was actually the end, was it?